There was a young woman by the name of Ann Steele who encountered one trial and disappointed after another. Her mother died when she was 3, and when she was 19, she suffered a severe hip injury that left her an invalid. Eventually, she fell in love and was engaged to be married, but the day before the wedding, her fiancé drowned. Later, Ann Steele penned the following song, "Father, whatever of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, except at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free. The blessings of thy grace impart, and make me live to thee." You know, it's no secret tonight we live in a world that we face countless problems and trials. They certainly can be wearisome as we go through them. And as I was praying about what to preach tonight, the Lord directed me to this psalm, as it gives us a great perspective about life and the problems we face and the fact that we're never alone. Look at verse number 1 through verse 11 here. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Now, verse 10 we're going to primarily focus on tonight is a great phrase. "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. What a great phrase. "I will be exalted above the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." You know, as Christian people here tonight, we have the promise of the presence of God, that He is always there through it all to see us through and bringing the best good that He can, even in the midst of the worst times. And tonight I'd like to consider this fact. We're not alone. We're not alone. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this truth tonight because we all need it. Lord God, I don't know all the burdens here, but I do know of many going on right now in the lives of people. And those that may be listening to my voice through the internet or even recorded later. Father, I pray today that You would just make Your presence known in the lives of each one of Your people tonight. Because it's Your presence that gives us strength as we push forward in life and as we deal with the things that come into it, so that we can successfully navigate that to find peace in the midst of our storms, and that You would be glorified by our reactions, that You can bring the best good as a result that You planned when these things hit. Thank You, Lord God, for this wonderful truth tonight that we're not alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the psalmist opens this psalm expressing the greatness of comprehending the presence of God. Verse 1, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." A very present. God isn't an absentee father, if you will. God is a very present God. As a result, in verse 2, it says, "Therefore will not we fear." Therefore, we will not fear. Though the storms are raging, though there are things going on in our lives right now that are amounting to stress and anxiety and fear of all types, God says He is a very present help in the time of trouble. As children of God, we have the promise that God's presence will never be taken away from us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Isn't that a great truth? Sometimes we think that we mess up and we've blown it so bad that God's just going to leave us on the side of the road and drive off. But God doesn't do that. Even though we mess up and we fall, the Bible says that He holds our right hand and He picks us back up and He enables us to go forward, because God has said that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Not one time. It doesn't matter what may come into our life. God's presence is always there. And that is a very resounding truth. Look at verse number 2 again. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Notice all these things that are going on, that are being mentioned here within this passage. The expressions used in these verses speak of our lives going through overwhelming waves of issues that batter the soul. And sometimes the issues that come into our lives act like those waves. If you have ever seen waves, whether in person or on television, you've seen waves that bash against the rocks and they get loud and they get boisterous. And it's a tremendous picture of what it feels like sometimes when those waves of emotion batter our hearts and batter our souls. And we are feeling weakened as a result of that, those feelings coming in. Are the seismic shifts of our lives we may experience due to situations that crop up that are going on right now. It's almost like our lives get jostled a bit, like an earthquake would cause some land. There's a, over in London, England, my son and I, when we were over there a few years ago, went to a museum. It was a natural history museum. And they had this section within this museum that gave you a demonstration of what it felt like during a certain earthquake that hit Japan a number of years ago. It was a pretty large earthquake. I don't remember what it was on the Richter scale, but it was pretty large. And they had assembled this room that you could go in, and it would start up, and you get the whole feeling of what it would have been like within that earthquake that took place. So we took advantage of that, and you heard all the banging of the clattering and all the things that were going on in the ground underneath you, moving back and forth. And you know what? Sometimes our life hits situations where our total foundation is being shifted and it's being upended, and there's cracks coming, just like what would occur in a type of earthquake situation like that. And that's really what you see pictured in verses number 2 and 3, the battering waves, the seismic shifts of an earthquake. And in the middle of all that, there's God. There's still God. Look at verse 4. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. I believe we can translate this over to the New Testament believer, because as saved people tonight, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In the Old Testament, there was the physical location of the tabernacle and the temple. That was where God's presence was manifested. But in the New Testament era, there is no more tabernacle and temple. Physically speaking, it's now become within us. Remember, the Bible teaches us that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the presence of God dwells within us if we've been saved tonight. And in the midst of that, guess who's there? Of course, God Himself. God Himself. He sits in the midst of our being to bring calm and to help and give us the help that we need. It's no secret we are living in very tumultuous days. You look at the news at any time, it's always something tumultuous. Whether they're making more ado of certain things or not, it's easy to see that we are living in days of a lot of chaotic and a lot of irrational emotional behavior by many people on various sides of the fence. Many people are burdened about things going on all around them. And that doesn't even include the many things that are going on within them. And I believe we are living in a very stressed out society that's struggling to find peace, despite how hard they are trying to fight to bring it about, if I could put it that way. Lives are experiencing the raging waves of worry. within their souls. Lives are being disrupted by the cataclysmic shifts of society and situations that have cropped up within their lives. It causes us to become so despondent at times that it's hard to function, isn't it? It's hard to find peace. It's hard to be pleasant with all the stuff going on around us. And I like how the psalmist expounds further the raging issues as he continues in verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. We are living in a day when the heathen are raging, where the floods of ungodliness are coming in all the time. Ungodliness in ways I don't think our society has ever seen before. And it's alarming, no doubt. And the kingdoms are moving. They're shifting. There's a shifting, it seems, of global dominance and challenges to the way that the world has worked in our lifetime. But despite all of that, all that unsettles the soul, verse 7 tells us again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The presence of God is here, and it's here to stay. And He's His help is very near to us. Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He is a very near and present help in a very, very trying time. And the whole point tonight is simply this. We're not alone in this world. I look forward to the day Jesus steps back here. I'm looking forward to the trumpet sound. But until then, I got to live in this world. And God has left me here along with you here for a distinct reason. Now, it can get real easy getting caught up with everything that is going on. It can get real easy getting caught up with what's going on even in our personal lives. But God doesn't want us focused so much on all these overwhelming burdens as much as He wants us to be focused on Him. On Him. Because He's there. And we're not alone in all of this. Now, sometimes we might feel like that. I get that. We might, the key word is feel. But that doesn't negate the truth that the Lord of hosts is with us. And that He is a refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. That never negates that. We may not feel it, but it does not negate that. God wants us to become more fully aware of His abiding presence so that we can find rest and help in this time of need. And tonight I'd like to focus on verse 10. Just that phrase. I'm just going to break it up in three parts. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Boy, if there's anything that we should have, that's an easy phrase to memorize. Maybe most of you have that memorized, but that's a good one to remember. When you're all up in arms, up in a tizzy, God's telling you and I, be still and know that I am God. Helpful instructions to remind us we're not alone. Let's look at this phrase a little more closely tonight. As we see, first off, be still. Be still. What does it mean to be still? Well, think about this. Have you ever been worked up about anything? Maybe you got some news, or maybe you've got incoming news from multiple places that has worked you up emotionally. Worked you up emotionally somehow, where your mind begins to spin. You ever had your mind just spin on things? Maybe at night when you're trying to sleep, your mind won't shut off. I've had that happen to me a number of times. Where you're just kind of worked up. And these things, these thoughts, these feelings consume you. And consume your mind to the point it causes all this fear and worry, and we lose sleep, and we make decisions that aren't the best, It's just because we're all worked up. Again, we're in a tizzy, if I can put it that way. And the mind can really get spinning on things. It doesn't take a whole lot, especially when we begin to really fixate our minds on the cares. And what God wants us to do is be still. Be still. And what that means in our modern vernacular is this. Relax. Calm down. Chill out. Stop it! In a nice way. That's what it means. Maybe you've told somebody that before. Maybe somebody is all worked up next to you and you said, calm down, chill out, you know, because they're all up in arms or whatever, and maybe you've told them that. Maybe somebody's told you that recently. Like, take a chill pill, if you will. That's what he's saying here in so many words. And the one who's saying it is far bigger than us. It's God. God's saying, be still. It's, again, so easy to get so fixated on problems and trials and concerns and events and situations that our minds get so engulfed. And we experience all these negative feelings of anger and frustration and fear and depression and sadness and all this kind of stuff. And it just consumes our thought life to the point that, you know what, somebody can be talking to you and they're like, hello, are you there? And you're like, yeah, what did you say? Yeah. Never been there? Yeah, what's happened? Your mind's been engulfed. And it can even drive you to real irritability. See, the mind can really spin those things to the point we convince ourselves that no good will ever happen, the worst things are inevitable, and that we're going to be nothing but helpless victims fending for ourselves. And God's saying, hey, look, be still. Calm down. Relax here. And this is coming from God. I'll talk more about Him in a moment. But sometimes we've got to, when we find our minds running away like a freight train, this command, and it is a command here, is a very important one to consider tonight. That's like, let's hit the brakes here a little bit. Let's not go down those avenues of just total despondency and total defeat and total anxiety and stress and all those things. Let's just pause here. Let's just get a grip, if you will, for a few moments. And that's what God's telling us to do. Be still. Be still. Working ourselves into a tizzy is not going to solve anything. It's only going to make things worse, and we'll not be in a frame of mind to make the necessary decisions we may need to make in a given circumstance. Because God is always near and that we're never alone, we can obey this command to be still. Come down from the escalated precipice that our minds have taken us to. And let God help us. Be still. Maybe tonight you need God to remind you of this because of some things going on. Let's just be still here. Let's not get worked up. Let's not fret about what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, or what may potentially be the big problem. You know what? There's lots of things sometimes our minds get so worked up over that given time and given some rational thinking, they're not as big as what we've made them out to be. And that there are solutions that can be worked out, and God's got a way, and God can help, and all these things. But sometimes that mind just explodes in directions that we have convinced ourselves the ship is done. The ship is going under and that is it. It's over. It's done. And you know what? God's saying, look, calm down. Calm down. Be still. Be still. Be still. Let's stop the freight train of the mind. And secondly, know. Be still and know. You know, when we know something, our minds have comprehended something to the point we understand it. And when we know something, we have grasped it to the point that information, that information we know can assist us in our decision making and impact our emotional responses. Now, there are a lot of things that we can know. We live in the information age. You have more information that you can learn today. You have more information that you can learn today than you will ever learn in a lifetime. It's that proliferated. You can't even keep up with it. And there is a lot that can be learned. But not all of the knowledge out there is worth learning or good to know. Paul puts it well this way in Romans 16:19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You know, there are some things out there that aren't worth learning. There are people today living life, having learned much, thinking because they strive to live in vogue with the opinions of the loud minority, who they call themselves a majority, or who are in vogue with the cultural icons of our society. They're living life thinking, hey, I'm in vogue with everyone else. Everybody's doing it. Oh, I'm going with the flow. I mean, how could the majority be wrong? Well, the majority, honestly, in our day, is dead wrong. Because our majority, if you want to call it that, in other words, the winds of our culture, have a problem. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There are many things in our society that are being called good that God says is bad. And there's a lot of things in our society that they're saying are bad that God calls good. And there are people today, whether they realize it or not, they're living a lie. Because they're living in contradiction to what the Word of God has to say. And that never ends well, even if the majority, quote unquote, is following it. The majority's opinion doesn't make something truth. That's impossible. Because if you haven't followed, if you've been alive long enough now, you've seen that the opinion has changed multiple times over the decades. From one thing to another, to another, to another. And I'll guarantee you it will continue to change. Things that were deplorable 10 years ago are acceptable today and celebrated. And I'll guarantee you it'll just, if the Lord does not check it, it will continue to go that, it'll continue to go that direction. But people like that who live contrary to the Word of God, calling evil good and good evil, are living a lie that one day will be exposed. It will come down like a house of cards. Even those who may be well versed in the arguments to defend the lies that they believe. Because the most powerful thing that we can know is what is the truth. Is what is the truth. Because, guess what, you can't do anything against the truth. Facts are stubborn things. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:13-8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. There is only one entity that can define truth for us. God Himself. God Himself. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. In other words, His truths aren't going to change from one generation to the next. They'll be constant all the way through. Because He alone is the source of truth. Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And this is critical if we're going to be still. Because we need to know if our refuge, as it mentions in our text, God, is trustworthy, is truthful, or not. And we need to know, and God wants us to know that He is. That He never lies. He cannot go back on His word. Everything He says is true. Regardless if the waves are roaring and the mountains are being removed. We need to be still and know. And it goes on further. Number three, He is God. Be still and know that I am God. The one who is telling us to be still wants us to know He is God. Now, what you and I believe about God will communicate a lot in this passage to us. If we think God's just kind of wimpy, not able to do a whole lot, then this doesn't really do a whole lot for us. But if we believe God is the person He says He is, even though it's very difficult for our minds to wrap around Him, it will have a greater impact on our heart. I think it was A.W. Tozer said something on the lines, the most important thing about us is what we view, or is how we view God. If we view Him for who He truly is, then we can be still. If we view Him in a way that's less than who the Bible reveals Him as, well, then we're going to have some problems being still. See, we need to know the truth about God. And there may be within our lives, whether we're realizing it or not, untruths that we are believing that hinder us from being still. And you know when they start showing up? When the waves are roaring and the mountains are being removed in our lives. In other words, the trials. What you and I believe about God will come out in full force in the trials of our lives. Whether or not we really truly believe God is who He says He is will come out when we're faced with being forced to only trust Him. That's really when it's all going to come out. That's why God wants us to be still and know that He is God. Who He is, the personage that He is. The Hebrew word used for God here in our text is the word Elohim. The word, this name for God speaks to the fact that He is the supreme being. The mighty one. A ruler. The infinite one in power and strength. And this is the kind of God whose presence is always with us. Who's always there through it all. This verse is built off the fact the psalmist tells us a little bit of what God's capable of doing. And I want to emphasize a little bit because this is pretty much nothing. When you put it in perspective of the character of God. Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. You know, there are wars going on right now. People are trying to stop, aren't able to do it. But there is a God in heaven that can stop them in a moment's notice. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. The God that we call our Father is well capable of helping us navigate, solve, and deal with the great overwhelming concerns of our life. So much so that when we know the reality of this truth within our hearts, our fears are relieved. That's why it says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. therefore will not we fear. When we see God as the refuge and the strength that He truly is, that begins to alleviate the fears that are driving all the chaotic tizziness within the soul. And God wants us to really take some refuge in the fact of who He is. He really wants us to grasp this more than we do. He wants that reality buried deep within our hearts, that as children of God, we're never alone to face the difficulties of life. We are never, ever alone. And as you're facing difficulties in life right now, God wants you to learn more of that by going into His presence on a maybe a little more frequent basis than what you've been doing. See, we have help. Christian people, saved, born again, bought by the blood of Christ people, have the help of this God to calm us, to guide us, to empower us through every trial that we face. The unsaved do not have this and are left to themselves. How do you know? Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Look at that next phrase. Having no hope and without God in the world. What a bad situation to be in. To have no hope except your own resources in life. Now, I understand there are some very well-to-do people that have a lot of resources, if you will, and sadly they try to spend them all up trying to get help, and it doesn't solve the issues within. But there are most people on the planet today that have very limited resources, and they live hopeless existences from birth to death. What a horrible way to live, right? I think about that missionary letter we read a moment ago, and all the people he was talking about that were looking for hope during very, very difficult economic times. They can't run and get government checks. They can't run to a non-profit or to anything out there as much as it is available in this country. They're left on their own. But even with all that kind of stuff, we need something greater than what man can give us. And the unsaved world does not have any hope for this life, nor for the life to come, which is far greater. They have no choice but to rely on their own resources. And the escapes that they try to use to deaden the pain, to deaden the difficulty, to deaden the stress that they're expressing in life. For some it's the booze bottle, some it's drugs, some it's a lot of other different avenues that they face or that they can get their hands on. But that's all they got. And sometimes even God's people will do the same thing because of, well, a few reasons why. But I think that's a Christian who's living below their means. When they don't have access, or when they don't take advantage of the access to the one that has saved their soul from an eternal hell. You know, we can get worked up and try to solve our own problems like the lost, but we'll find ourselves getting just as defeated. As God's people, the sooner we come to realize or rely on God alone, the better off we're going to be. The better off we're going to be. because of the rampantness of sin in this world, problems are going to be part of our existence. We understand that. And God isn't going to simply remove them from our lives. Instead, He's going to use them to reform our character, redirect our steps, and as the Bible puts it in Romans 8:28, bring about the best good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Because He's the only one who's capable of doing that. We have to remember that if it wasn't for God, there would be no good in this world at all. If it wasn't for God, there would be zero good in this world. If it wasn't for God, there would be no hope. But because He's here, and we who have been saved have come into a relationship with Him, we need to be wise and taking advantage of that opportunity to find peace in the presence of God. Instead of having to go on spending sprees, go and attach ourselves to people in desperation looking for hope and help when really we can find it in God Himself. And we need to. We need to. The reason we struggle with no peace in our souls at times is because we really struggle to believe God has our best interest in heart. Or we're not sure if God is capable of handling the situation that's causing the chaos within. Many times we even have our own ideas how God should deal with the problems that cause us stress. But God's ways are better than our ways, for His are higher than ours. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Instead, the best avenue approach is this. Number one, we need to surrender to Him. Number two, we need to find our rest in Him. And number three, know that He's got everything under control. May not feel like it at the moment, but God wants us to know that despite the bad that goes on, everything's okay. He wants us to know we're not alone anymore in this world. You and I are not orphans. We're adopted children of God. We are adopted through the blood of Christ. God's never going to drop us off. The Bible says that we are in the palm of His hand and that nothing can pluck us out. God says in His Word that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Not a thing. If there's something that we as God's people need to get a grip on in our own lives, it is that. If we are insistent on using our own resources, God will let us come to the end of those resources to teach us how futile they are. Sometimes those problems are allowed in our lives just to teach us those very things. God says, "I am a refuge and strength, a very present time, help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Be still and know that I am God." May we rejoice that we're never alone.